Thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a saying here that truth is the fuel for the journey. Applying the truth will give you strength for the journey. All of us need truth in our lives, and there's nothing that's more valid than the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth. That the Word of God will give us the understanding if we will just seek the truth with all of our heart, and not be resistant against hearing some things that many times we don't want to hear. But if we'll just ask God to give us the truth and nothing but the truth, that we'll receive it in our hearts. We have a website. It's called Strength for the Journey. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And you can go to the website and hear all these radio programs are posted there on a button called S4TJ Radio. And so any of these programs are available to re-listen to. If you would like to rehear the program or send them to a friend, they're all there available. Also, there is a number of articles on the website. There's an article tab there that you can go to, and you can read a number of articles that I've written just to challenge the believers today on the things that we have, what we need to do with our lives today, and our relationship with the Lord. Is, do we really have a relationship with the Lord? Do we really hunger for Him? Do we really hear His voice? Can we even recognize His voice? Jesus said in Matthew 10:27 that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is a clear distinction that Jesus makes, that we need to be able to hear His voice, to be able to follow Him. And one of the blessings that comes from us hearing His voice and following Him is that He says that He knows us. And we want to hear those words, that day when He comes, or when we go to see Him, that He says, I know you. Because He'll either say, I know you, or I know you not. And this is one key that we can know that we know Him, is that if we know His voice. So tonight we're going to be talking about, again, we're going to continue in this topic that we did last week on, are we prepared? Are we ready for the days that lie ahead? Because I'm afraid that many believers today, people that consider themselves believers, aren't really prepared for the days that are lying ahead. They've been told things that maybe aren't completely true and have given them a false sense of security. A false sense that they are not going to have to go through any hard times, that that everything's going to be good, because nobody wants to hear a hard message. People want to hear a message that's comforting, that's comfortable, that makes them comfortable where they are in their walk. And you'll find that when you begin to read red letters in the Gospels of Jesus' own words, that He never gave anybody a comfortable word. He challenged everybody where they were. And even those that followed Him, He still challenged them constantly in their walk. And that's the way it is with us, is that if we're on this road that Jesus calls the narrow road, it's going to be a road that requires obedience. It's going to be a road that requires us to be obedient all the way till the very end. And if you look in Matthew chapter 7, you'll find in 7:13 that Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And then in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, it says it this way. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and will not be able. And
Many, it says, many will try to get in. They will seek to get into the kingdom, but they won't be able to. Why is that? Why would it be that people want to get into the kingdom of God, but they can't? What is it that restricts them? Well, maybe they tried to enter in at another direction. Maybe they tried to enter in at the wide gate. Maybe they wanted to enter in at a place where it was easy. The straight gate, if you look in the Greek word for straight, it means a place of restriction, that there's obstacles in the way, that there's places that are going to not make it easy to get in through this gate. And if you look at the narrow way, it's a place that is restricting again. It's a way I would see it as a narrowing road. It's not just a narrow road. It's not the straight and narrow, which many people will say straight and narrow, but it says the straight gate and the narrow road, not the straight and narrow road. So the road is actually a narrowing road. It's a road that continually asks more of us. It requires more obedience the longer we walk down that road. God is requiring more out of us. That when we first get saved, there's lots of stuff that are in our life that God needs to take care of, but we're just beginning on this narrow road that requires obedience in our life. I remember one time I was driving down a highway, and as I was driving down the road, the Lord spoke to me, and there were some men that were cleaning up trash on the side of the highway. And he said to me, he said, "Your walk with me is like those men picking up trash on the side of the road." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, look at the man over there." And I glanced off as I was driving by him, and he was picking up as he was walking, and he just bent over and picked up what's at his feet. And as I saw this, the Lord said, "I only require from you what's at your feet. What have I revealed in your life that you need to take care of? What is the trash in your life? There's trash all over the place up ahead of you, but I'm only requiring you to pick up what's at your feet. What have I shown you?" So he was showing me that our walk with him is like a daily walk, that he may show us things today that we didn't see yesterday, because we weren't there yet. But God is still requiring us in acts of obedience to do what he says to do. A couple of programs ago, we talked about hearing God's voice. And this is absolutely critical. In order to obey God's voice, we have to learn to discern his voice. And last week we talked a little bit about how do we discern God's voice. And I didn't have a clue. How do I begin to hear God's voice? But I asked him that question, and he said, "Eliminate the devil." I don't think like that. So my next thought was, what does that mean? And as I thought about that for a moment, the next thought came to my mind was, eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. And what he was beginning to show me is that he speaks to us on one hand. He's come to give us life and give it more abundantly. He's the spirit of truth. On the other hand, Satan's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. If we eliminate the one that's come to steal, kill, and destroy, the one of deception, what do we have left? And as I began to do that, God's voice in my life began to get stronger and more clear as I began to eliminate what I knew wasn't him. So this is very important, that as we're going to follow him and learn to discern his voice, we have to eliminate in our lives what we know is not God, what we know has caused us problems and brought deception in our life. And I just began to take inventory in my life. Where are these voices in my life that are deceiving me, that are leading me astray? And this is how I began my walk with the Lord, was just discerning his voice and learning to know the difference between the voice of the deceiver and the voice of truth. And many times, the voice of truth in our life is not what we want to hear. Sometimes, and this is the narrow road, that it requires obedience, it requires giving up things, it requires less of ourself. It requires, if you look at almost all the things that Jesus talked about, the way his kingdom works, it's absolutely the opposite of what our flesh wants. It prefers another person. It's a servant rather than being served. It's giving rather than taking. All these things are just like qualities of us walking in his kingdom now, is that we're actually being obedient just like he was, even to our death. And he was our example. He said, if I wash your feet, then you should do the same. That we should serve others just like he came not to be served, but to serve. And if we're like him, then we should have the same heart, the same passion, the same desire to be just like him. And that road that he was on was a very restrictive road. He even said that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He didn't have a comfort zone. He didn't have a place where he could call secure and some place that was nice and comfy. He didn't have that place because he had a mission to accomplish. And our problem is we are looking for holes in the ground for security. We're looking for nests that have lots of down feathers. And what happens when we get those places of comfort is that we end up going to sleep. And we end up almost too comfortable that we miss what we're supposed to be doing. And just about 2 years ago, the Lord spoke to me very clearly as I had this place of comfort in my life and a security. I felt like I was ready for the worst case scenarios in the world that could happen. And the Lord spoke to me and said, your nest is in the wrong forest. And I realized when I heard those words that he completely just ripped my nest up and I was going to have to move. And it may not be very comfortable to leave my comfort zone. And I was just even thinking about this morning that when we were leaving, the Lord called us to leave everything, to reduce our life to suitcases and to come follow him, and to go to a land that we did not know anybody, didn't know the language, but we knew God was calling us to do this. And I remember now our drive as we were leaving the house with all of our children. We were in a 15-passenger van, and all we had was what was in our suitcases and a few boxes. Everything we owned, including 6 of our 8 children, were in the van. And as we left the home, and the children began to look as we drove through town, and the reality was suddenly dawned on everybody that we were leaving everything, that we were leaving all of our friends. We'd already given or sold our possessions over a 2-month period just prior to this. And the children began to cry and began to weep. And it was like the whole van was filled with voices wailing. They were just crying and weeping as we were leaving everything that we owned. And it was like a stripping that was going on, that God was stripping us. And because he needed to transplant us. And it reminds me of a time when I was young in the Lord, and I had a friend that was a landscaper. And this guy was an amazing guy. He could do amazing things. And I was over at his house one time. We're going to go do some barbecue in his backyard. And I had been to his house before, and I noticed when I went to the front door that there was a huge magnolia tree missing in his front yard. And I thought to myself, what in the world? What happened to that tree? It looked like a perfectly healthy tree. Where'd it go, I wonder? I get to the backyard, and there's this giant magnolia tree in his backyard. And I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? And as I looked at this big tree, I asked him, I said, where'd that tree come from? He said, oh, that was a tree that used to be in the front yard. And I said, wait a minute. That's a big tree. How in the world could you get a full-grown tree like that transplanted? And he said, well, it wasn't that hard. I just dug a big root ball around it and laid it over on its side. And then he made this motion of someone stripping leaves off of the branches. And he just made this motion of stripping everything. And he stripped the tree of all of its leaves. And he said, then I just dug a hole in the backyard and I stuck the tree in the ground, watered the roots, and there it is. And I go, wait a minute. I said, you stripped all the leaves off. I said, didn't that kill the tree? He said, no, just the opposite, actually. It saved the tree. And those words always have stuck in my mind because it was the stripping of the tree that saved it. It didn't kill it. And our biggest problem in life is that we are so fond of our leaves that we will not let ourselves be stripped, that we think that's the life, but the life is actually in our roots. And We need to be transplanted in the Lord, and we need to be watered by Him. And that if we will let the roots grow down deep in the Lord, that He doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter if He transplants us to a foreign land or any place in the world, is that if our roots are planted in Him, He can strip whatever He wants off of us, and that we'll actually end up being more fruitful. If you think about John 15, when he talks about the vine and the branches, there's a time when there's a pruning that comes in our life, and actually that pruning is what causes us to be more fruitful in our life, that we're cutting away things that don't really matter in our life, that there's things that are what I would refer to as time wasters. There's just time that we don't really use wisely. We have stuff in our life that are more dear to us than our obedience to God. And God is asking us, many of us now, just to let those things go. Just let Him prune us. Let Him take things out of our life that are distracting us, that are taking our attention off of what He wants us to do. And if we'll let God do this, that He will make us fruitful, that He will increase us, that He will do something that He couldn't do before because we have too much in our life that is actually taking our heart away from Him. You know, there's Luke records this, that there was requirements that God gave His disciples to actually follow Him. And He said that in order to follow Him, that we had and be His disciple, that there could be nobody that could be more important to us than Him. He said that if you love anybody more than Me, including your own life, you cannot be My disciple. And then He went on to say that if you are not willing to pick up your cross and follow Me, deny yourself and follow Me, you cannot be My disciple. And then He said, if you can't give up all that you own, you can't be My disciple. And when the Lord did this in our life and just laid us over, I feel like that tree just totally stripped. And I felt just totally vulnerable because I'd given up all my security. I'd given up my food supply, my guns, my ammo, everything I felt like I needed to defend myself. The Lord did something that He couldn't do before because I was depending too much on my stuff than I was on Him. And I felt like that tree totally stripped of everything, and I felt totally vulnerable. And when I said, God, if You don't feed me, I'm going to die, He said, oh, well, good, now you're where I want you. This is where I know He'd been wanting me to go for many years, but I wasn't willing to give up. And I think this is why God requires a stripping sometimes of our life in order to finally where we become dependent on Him, and that we will finally say, Lord, if You don't feed me, I'm going to die. If You don't nourish me, I have nothing. You know, He even said that without Me, you can do nothing. But on the other side, that means that with Him, we can do everything. But sometimes we have to eliminate some things in our life that are replacing Him and displacing Him in our dependence upon Him. And I can tell you this from personal experience, that it has been the most wonderful year and a half since we went through our stripping process. And it's not a bad thing if God is doing it, if God is doing the preparation. We're going to listen to a song here in just a moment. It's a song by Hillsong. It's called The Desert Song. And I want you to listen to the words. It speaks about how do we go through the desert? How do we go through that dry place in our life? Will we praise Him in the midst of our desert? So enjoy the song.
This is my prayer in the desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in the hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. And this is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain.
The last words of this song are, "I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received I will sow." Are you willing to be emptied so that God can really fill you? Are you ready to become the seed so He can use you and be sown into other people's lives? When I was just about to leave to go on this mission journey across the world and didn't know where we were going to go, the Lord gave me an opportunity to preach at the church that we were attending. And the Lord gave me a vision of myself, that I was in His hand like a seed that had matured to the point that He, almost like He just blew into His hand. I was in His hand like a seed, and He blew into His hand that He could send me. And so, like a seed that could be blown into the wind, He sent me forth. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me early in my walk with Him is I wanted to go change the world. And I was just so excited about what God had done in my life that I just wanted to go change the world. And He kind of grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, my collar, and He said, "Whoa, boy." He said, "You're never going to change anybody." He said, "The only person you'll ever change is the guy you see in the mirror every morning." But then He said, "But the changes you allow me to make in you, I will use to change others." And He gave me kind of a vision of myself like a seed. And He said to me that I can only reproduce in others what I already am. That I had to let God do a work in my heart first and change me. And then once He had done that, that He did something very special in my heart, then He could use what He did in my life to change other people. And this is what God wants to do with each one of us. He wants to change us and transform our lives and put us in the ground like a seed, that we can be truly fruitful, that we need to die to ourselves like that seed that goes into the ground and becomes dead first. And then in that place of death, it becomes fruitful. And unless something dies, it says it abides alone. And this is what God wants each one of us to do. He just wants us to lay down our life completely, totally surrender our life, that there's nothing left of us, that there's only Him that lives. And once we get to that place that we are nothing, that He is everything, then He begins to do something very special in our lives. And just like Abraham, you know, when he was standing over Isaac and he had this knife in his hand and he was ready to sacrifice his son, it wasn't until he was ready to go down with the knife that the angel of the Lord said, "Now I know. Now I know that you fear me, that now that you know you have not even kept your only begotten son from me, that you will obey no matter what I say. Now I know I can trust you because you trust me." And I feel like what really happened when we were willing to sell everything and just follow God just by His voice, there's almost like the knife was over myself and I was literally sacrificing my own life in an act of obedience, that I was willing to do whatever God said for me to do. Because something very unique happened once this process began to change. And the Lord even spoke to me and said, "Are you willing to die for me? Are you willing to lay down your life for me if that's what I require of you?" And in a state of, I was just weeping before the Lord, because I knew it was Him speaking to me, and He was asking me, would I be willing to lay down my life for me, just like He did for Him, just like He did for me. And when I said, "Yes, I will," it's like an intimacy that I had not experienced before took place, that God began to show me secrets and things that I'd never seen before. He began to wake me up in the morning and began to speak to me in the early morning hours. And I would just sit on my bed and weep as He just in His presence as He was speaking to me. And this is the kind of relationship that He wants with all of us. He wants a relationship that nothing else in the world matters but Him, and that we're willing to lay it all down for Him. And when we do this, something very special will happen in our lives. And there's an intimacy that will be birthed in our lives with Him when He knows that He can trust us with anything and everything. And this is where God wants all of us to get now. And I hope that this is where your heart is and that God can do something very special in your life now. So thank you so much again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. And again, our strength, the website is strength with a number 4thejourney.com. And there's many articles, and this radio program will be on there as well if you want to re-listen to it, if you're listening to it on shortwave radio. So again, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.